Okay.
All right, everybody. My name is Daniel Felt. I am the host of the Home Service Pro podcast. Today, I'm excited to have with us Graham. He is the owner of Go-To Guy. Graham, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Look
Yeah,
forward to it.
you bet. So, Graham, you've got an interesting background. Tell us what led you to getting into Go-To Guy.
So my transition into the home improvement industry was a little bit different than most. I was a regional manager for a specialty rental company in the oil and gas business down in South Louisiana for 20 plus years. Been in the industrial sales before then for about 10 or 15 years, mostly dealing in chemical plants and refining. Everything's what we call downstream. My wife is a consultant, and she had an opportunity to really elevate her career. We were kind of maybe looking at a change. So we relocated, well, I should say my wife and my two kids relocated to Columbia, South Carolina. I stayed in Louisiana looking for a interviewing for a job so I can permanently relocate, thinking that, hey, this is going to be a breeze. I have a lot of management and sales experience, and I can transfer that to just about any business. Well, I found that that transition wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. So I spent a lot of time traveling back and forth. I would work remotely while I was in South Carolina for my permanent job. And while I was here, I was like, well, hey, I need something to do. I need to start interviewing, looking for job, looking for opportunities. And we live in about a 3,700 home master plan community. And the Facebook group has thousands of members, always, multiple times every day. Hey, looking for a recommendation for somebody to remodel my kitchen, my bathroom, to fix this, to change that, do this. So I've always built things. I've worked on things. Built my first house, me and my father. Hey, maybe I should offer services. I formed a little business. Went and bought insurance was the first thing I did. Formed an LLC, bought insurance, got an EIN number, opened up a couple of bank accounts, set up a website, Google business profile. I mean, first thing I did before I even did the first job is I hired a social media marketing person because I knew from being in sales and marketing how important it is. And it's really frustrating when I even have friends of mine say, well, no, I don't pay for advertising. I just do, word of mouth. And I try to steer them down the path and look, the way consumers are consuming and or looking for products and services changing, drastically changing. And you're eventually going to run out of word of mouth. And I was a firm believer in that because I was in there. I was in that environment. Even I was seeing it change. So I started being a handyman 6 months in. I had a decision to make because I could no longer travel back and forth. With the revenue I was generating and the leads I had coming in, I actually had a problem with I had too many leads, if that makes sense. And most people in business would just love to have that problem, but because we did a really good job of branding and marketing from the very beginning. And that just led into other things. And so that's kind of how I came to this, not from the trades, but from the business side. Just being a type of person that could figure things out. Done a lot of this work myself, but not necessarily on that scale because I was doing it for myself and doing it for other people for free, as favors, right? Because you just kind of help your neighbor out. You do these things, but sometimes certain people's brains work differently, and I just had a knack for envisioning the end product and just backending that process to get to it. So I mean, my first 6 months, I did like 56,000 in revenue part time. Working, 1 week a month or so like that. Didn't really have any money because I just spent it all, but I refined that process and I found a accounting system that really made sense. On a podcast somebody recommended, I went and got the book and I was like, that makes sense. It's called Profit First for anybody ever would consider it has worked well for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage anybody to go look at it. And I will tell you this, we have had a really slow fourth quarter of last year, and it really helped using that system to allow me to have money put away during that time frame to kind of shoulder the slow months, and things are starting to pick up. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where we're at now. Last year was our first full year. We did right at 306,000, just me by myself.
Okay.
I just recently hired an employee, so
yep.
I'm looking to hopefully at least add 30 to 40% to hopefully double that with new subs. I do have a couple subs that I use for larger projects just before for me to scale that business.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so and then that's kind of just a rundown of where we started, where we came from, and what we're doing now.
Yeah. So your buddy, you're in, you mentioned Profit First, love that book. We also run off it. If anyone isn't aware of it, it's a great concept. You create multiple counts and money comes in and then you tell it where to go. So you put a percentage into materials, ground making guesses for you. Maybe it's materials for owner's payment, for taxes. You're telling your money where to go on a percentage basis. And when you start telling your money to where to go, rather than your invoices or your bills telling you where it's going to go, it ends up going a lot better. And congrats to you, Graham, for making it through. Yeah, we had a little bit of slow period and here we are. So you made a really interesting point about having a business mindset. One thing that I've seen, and I think I've talked to a ton of people about this in the home service industry, is the handyman industry is really difficult to scale. And you're coming at it from a business mindset. What would you encourage? Maybe if a handyman has a different, problem, like they've got these leads, they don't know how to handle it, they don't know how to scale it. How has that business mindset helped you? Because your website is great. You're talking about all these things that are really awesome that some people are they're just doing the handyman work. They're not doing all the things you're doing, the branding, the website. How do you find the time? Like, how do you balance that out between, hey, I'm going to do 300K this year as a one man show, which is awesome, and now you've got subs and all that stuff. How are you balancing that, and how is it benefiting you bringing that business mindset to the home service industry, to that handyman industry?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I just think there's so many other business owners that are in our space, whether it's HVAC, flooring, all the other trades, that lead gen is so important, especially, this is no longer COVID times. You know, we got to work for the leads a little bit more.
Yep.
Speed to lead. I'm sure we've all heard that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we've been able to do, and we put this in early on, is we always try to funnel everybody to our website, and we have an embedded form that is really it's connected to our CRM. Oh, that's another thing. I mean, first thing I bought was a CRM because I knew the importance of it. Lead comes in, they fill out a form, goes in our CRM, and allows us to do some automations. It was pretty basic, but at least allowed us to collect the information, send invoices, send estimates. Then the problem came that where we were just getting inundated. I was getting 5 or 6 calls a day while working on projects. And we always had some type of automation where it was still basic, where they would get a text message. Hey, we missed your call. If you need immediate assistance, hey, go to our website with a link and fill out this job data form, and we'll contact you and set up either an appointment, or we'll just send you an estimate based on that and have a place you can put pictures, whatnot. And that worked out fairly well. And it's hard to believe that I actually had to scale that, right? You know?
Yeah.
It just got to where, I probably lost maybe $50,000 because I took the average average job price. And I just extracted that across the leads that I just didn't have time to follow up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I calculated it's roughly on average about $50,000 of lost revenue just because I didn't respond.
Sure.
That's just not acceptable. You know,
right.
You provide a price and they choose not to go, hey, that's fine. You know,
sure.
But just to lose it because you just couldn't process that lead is just unacceptable. And I see that happening to a lot of people, and I know I had it. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You have a question?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm interested in knowing one thing, Graham, that I've noticed about you and your website and your social media and all that stuff is that automation is like really key. You guys are on the forefront of that, especially for a business that's 1 year old, no matter what your size is. It's really impressive that you're doing all that. And before the call, we were talking a little bit about like AI, which is the hot topic, right? And it's crazy. It's changing every single day. What are you doing today that has made it so that you can grow and scale? Like, how are you, like, what are some real day-to-day practices that you're using AI? And I've experienced some of them just in us messaging back and forth. I've been, you know, I've been chatting with your AI assistant. We didn't even know it. Right. And, so, which is good for people to know, like, hey, I didn't know I was talking to a robot until you sent me a message. Like, damn, that's my AI bot. Ignore it. I was like, oh, okay. Good to know. So what are you using in your business, Graham, to make it so you can be out there working on the business rather than in it doing some of these things?
Right. So, getting back to the original website, you know, we just had it built out by GoDaddy, and they were hosting it. There were some limitations. It wasn't a WordPress site. So, you know, beginning of last year, I said, well, it's time to look at making a change. We need to scale this out. So we went with a different company that specializes in building very highly functional and scalable websites for the home industry, home proven industry. And they understand the business. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, man, it's really, you need to find somebody who specializes in your industry because they know the ins and outs. They know what you're going through. They know your pain points. And obviously you want a partner in that. So what we've done is we still got all these leads. And what do we do with them? Because I'm still having the same problem of following up and this and that. So on one of those Facebook groups that we are in, they had a person that responded to a comment, say, hey, I'm using this company and it's called Class Alpha Solutions. And they have a lead gen processor with some chatbot capabilities they have integrated. I reached out to them. We did a, you know, discovery demo, and I was sold. You know, once I saw the demo, I was like, that is what I have been looking for since I started this business, because I always believed there had to be some automation out there that will help us in our industry be more productive. And it's one of those things where you use a software, probably you may use only 10% of the capability.
Right.
And that's what we're finding, because now we're like, hey, what can we get this chatbot to do now? Because now it's doing this, this, and this. What can we do? So let me give you some examples of originally what we have it built out. Once again, a lead comes into our new website, has little capabilities. And once that happens, it goes into our CRM that's specifically for this chatbot integration that has a lot of capabilities, I must say. And it starts automatically texting them saying, hey, if you filled out our website form, we see you have this, it'll pick up some of the description that they put in about the project, and it'll start having a conversation right there. And the goal of that, and it's just the way I have it set up. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to schedule a phone call first, a discovery phone call, just to make sure it's a good fit for the project and just to make sure that the client is going to be a good fit for us. I do none of that. This chatbot takes over. It starts taking in communication. It figures out, well, maybe in its own mind, hey, maybe this is something we want to move forward with. It schedules a initial discovery phone call with this new client. It schedules a phone call. The client agrees to it. They get a notification. Then when it's time, and I get way too many notifications, but you can throttle that back. But
sure.
The way that happens is it sets up a phone call. And be honest with you, sometimes I forget about it. My phone rings. I go to pick it up and it says, Lead Connect is here to connect you to so-and-so client. I'm like, oh, okay, good. And it essentially puts together a two-way call. It rings the other client. The other client picks up, and I just answer the phone with my business and say, we had a call set up. I'm so-and-so. What can we do? And, you know, we have some conversation, try to break the ice. You always want to try to make some type of connection early on. And you know,
sure.
Coming from the sales side, that's one of the things that I've always learned is you want to make that connection really quick, because sometimes you don't have a lot of time to impress upon them that we may be a good fit. Unless, you know, if it is, we can move together. So there's one thing that it does. Well, it does a lot of other things. So,
yeah.
So we have a pipeline set up, and as I move people through the pipeline, we're just like, well, why am I doing this I mean, why am I doing this manually? Why can't we have where maybe there's some things I do manually? Because I'll move them and set them up for a home service appointment if there's something I need to go see. Well, I just manually move them over, and then it sets up the same process. It starts setting them up a time through my calendar that I have preset slots for it to set up a time and has them pick it and sets it up, sends them notifications, sends me notifications, then I show up. We have it set up to get automatic reviews. We have reminders to send them reviews. And one thing I was going to tell you that just happened this past week is my integrator through Class Alpha Solutions is providing Google review cards. You hand that to your client when you finish a job, when you're in front of them, and you ask them to give you a review. You hand them that, they scan a QR code, it automatically leaves you a 5-star review, and you send them pictures, and they can add that to your Google review.
Sure.
And what's great about it is the AI does the response for you. And we usually wait about an hour because we want it to make it seem like it's a little bit more organic than automated. But what's most interesting is the AI during that time frame is formulating a response, and it's very SEO friendly response.
Okay.
That's important
Yep.
because that helps your Google rankings.
And it's all through one software.
We're still actually building this out. We're 2 to 3 weeks into it, and we're finding different things that we can have these chatbots do. Now, I will tell you this: I did demo a different software, and we had some conversations about it where it's a voice chatbot. It'll actually call your clients for you and talk to them. And I demoed it after listening to the podcast, and they had a number that they advertised, said, call it, try it out. I called it like 10 times. I just kept like trying to trip it up. And I was like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
I will say the first couple of times I could not tell it wasn't a human. I mean,
Got
it
it.
wasn't, I couldn't tell it was a computer. After a while, after 10 times, I noticed a trend. There was a few second delay while I was formulating an answer. I was like, oh, okay,
Sure.
I get it now. But the first time I was like, this is interesting. And the owner of that software, the developer of that software said, look, this in 6 months, this will be exponentially better. In a year, it will be exponentially better. And I think we just see that with everything that's coming out now with AI and technology. Now, will an AI put a new roof on your house or fix your toilet? No, that's never going to happen. But it's there to use to help your processes and automate some of your things. And there's some other things we're doing on our back end processes that are just mundane tasks that I have another company that's working in our, I use HouseCall Pro for our trade all-in-one software, and she's working on some automations into that. That's more traditional automations. VAs, I have a virtual assistant. Why I didn't do that before, I have no idea. And one thing is funny too, and I'm still kind of conflicted about this, is that I think it's important that you have a live person answer the phone, but I'm not too sure on some demographics that most of your younger generations, they'd rather not even talk on the phone.
Right.
Texting, Facebook messaging, and all of those modes. We took every method of communications and funneled them into our AI, and it responds to Facebook messages, it responds to Google messages, it responds to missed phone calls. Now, the only reason we don't have the voice AI there because we just, we're not there yet. But everything else most certainly is. And I got to tell you, the most inefficient communication method I have right now is if I physically answer the phone. And it's the craziest thing I ever thought I would say. Because then I have to manually put something in my pipeline, put something in the calendar because I answered the phone. So I think that's changing going forward. I mean, your older generation likes to talk. Obviously, you can tell by this conversation, I like to talk. I come from a sales background,
Sure.
right? But I think that's changing, and that's goes along with the newer generation that they're not going to search by word of mouth. They're not going to ask Uncle Benny about who they used to put a roof on a house. They're going to Google search it, or they're going to use ChatGPT or something. Hey, find me a roofer near me or Google that. And that's going to be a method. That's why I think you either embrace it and get on the train, or the train's going to leave and you're going to be trying to figure out how to catch it. And that's not a good place to be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Graham. What I foresee happening with this is there's going to be a separation between the haves and the have-nots. And the people that are implementing things into their business the same way that you are might be uncomfortable at first. You might have to test it 10 times, like you said, with the phone calls. But unfortunately, what's going to happen is that your profit margins are simply going to be better than the other guy in your town doing the exact same thing, but not using these systems and processes. And if your profit margins are better, you're able to offer a better service at a better price to these clients, and they're going to go out of business. It's just going to be a matter of time. So it is unfortunate. Like, I hate to say it, but yeah, if you're not implementing some of these things, you're going to go by the wayside. And yeah, I'm assuming that, hey, we're recording this in April of 2024. I'm assuming that by fall of this year, a lot of people are going to be using phones. A lot of people, because you're saying, like, these AI systems, they can take 1,000 phone calls a minute. They unlimited. They could take 1,000,000 phone calls a minute, and they're answering. You'll never miss a call. And how crazy for you that the phone has become the most inefficient, because when I started my company in 2016, I wanted to get someone on the phone so bad. Just get me on the phone and I can sell them. Like, I'll sell you. So yeah, how interesting that. But I love what you're doing, because if you pull all this full circle, you're really are focusing on the next group of people coming in, and you're with your social media, you're showing that, hey, I'm the subject matter expert. If you scroll through, your guys' social media, you're showing all these great tactics that are using. We're using them as well. They're awesome. I know they're great. We're using the same things. You're showing your Google reviews. You're showing projects that you've done. You're showing online that, hey, we're the subject matter experts. So that when this next generation of people coming in, the people in their 20s, 30 year olds that are buying houses that have no idea how to do home service repairs or anything like that, they're saying, hey, the go-to guy he's a subject matter expert. I'm going to hire him. And Google sees that as well. Their social media is now part of SEO. So, looking through all this, Graham, it's no question on why your business is growing as quickly it is when you're implementing some of these systems and processes that make it. Because you know how many people I hear all the time say, I can't find a great handyman. And now it's like, well, if I lived in your city, and after having this conversation, I'd be like, well, contact Graham. The guy's gonna get back to you, and you're gonna know what's going on. But I'm tempted to follow up with you in like 6 months and see if you are using a phone to get to have that completely take you out of the equation. All you have to do is go and give an estimate in person, because I would be surprised if you're not there by this fall, by the end of 2024, with the way that things are going.
Yeah, I tell you, one of the bottlenecks that I see now is doing estimates. And that's one thing that I have had some caution, but I'm fully into somehow we automate that. And I have my person who's doing my integration automation on my House Call Pro account working on a price book. Her business is a lot different, where it's the same job every day. Materials are the same. The quantities are different. They do concrete coatings. So everything's priced per square foot. Well, I don't think we're too much far where, hey, you want an estimate? You pull it, you go through the process. The AI just sends you an estimate. You approve it. It goes into the pipeline. It schedules it for you. It orders your material. It delivers it on site. You already set the appointment with the client. If you collect deposits, it's already collected deposit, because you can't move forward without that. All you have to do is show up. And, you look at manufacturing and I believe it's called just-in-time manufacturing. They're already there. I mean, Amazon's already doing that. I mean, they're already doing it. When are we going to start doing it? And we're right there. I mean, we're getting really close to doing that. And you think about that. If you make the client experience so easy for them to do business with you, why else would they go anywhere else?
Right.
Why wouldn't they want to pay more for that? Don't you think there's a high value in that? You fill out something, you hit a button. Look, there's even a way we can have them in a client portal where they click on a service, it's there. And that's one button, and that's all they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Their credit, if they're paid by credit card, it's on file. We charge a deposit if we have to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We hit finish when we start, go to the job, we hit start a job, we hit a button that says finish job. It automatically sends them an invoice. It collects the payment, sends them a review. It collects the review. It writes the review for you. That's SEO friendly.
Mm.
Moving on to the next job, the next client, and the client just pressed one button.
Right.
I mean, think about that client experience. You know,
yeah.
As a consumer, as you well are, I think that would be great, especially if there's a company that I've already built a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just come on out and do it. And you hit one button and you're done.
Yeah.
One and done.
Yeah. So, Graham, tell me, so all this stuff is great. Like, you're getting leads. They're flowing through. These leads are not being ignored. You're never going to get a one-star review because someone says they call you and they didn't get a hold of you. All that's awesome. What are you doing from an operation standpoint to grow your business? Like, how are you managing the quality? How do you plan on managing the quality through this growth that you're projecting for the next year?
Well, you know, that's a good point. I think at this point, there's two ways to go. Either you're going to hire a bunch of employees, W-2s, and you're going to go that route, or you go the subcontractor route. I think for me, where I want to be and where I want to scale, I think there's going to be a core group of W-2 employees. I can envision a CSR, which would be kind of an office manager CSR, would take the place of a virtual assistant, or
sure.
just have a full-time virtual assistant, project manager, and some key, site managers, so to speak, crew leaders, and subcontract. I just think to really scale the business, it's great to have a slew of subcontractors. How do you control the quality? You just have to find people that are like-minded. And I think if you lead as a leader should, and you give them the respect, then hopefully it'll be, reciprocated. And you just always got to be looking. Any coaching that I've ever had a conversation with, or anybody in business, that always keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
Always have a want ad out there. Never take your Indeed ad out. Always be looking.
Sure.
Because you never know when that diamond in the rough may come out of that marketing or that efforts, and you would have missed out if you quit that. You got to keep growing. You know, and that's what frustrates me so much about. I have friends of mine that are doing the same thing, and they're just so stuck in the old way of, oh, I just do word of mouth. I mean, but you at some point a day, you're going to be tired of working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, aren't you?
Right.
You know,
right.
Where do you want to go with this? Do you want to be financially independent? What happens if you want to go on vacation?
Right.
Does your business just stop? You know, your business should run without you even being there. And, I gained that philosophy and through the hard work of my last job when I was regional manager for a specialty rental company. I essentially engineered my position out of it. Towards the end, I don't think the owners of the company enjoyed that, but I just made my operations so efficient that I didn't really need to be there. But, I had a good customer base. I built a rapport, but I also had the right people in place, the right processes, and most importantly, the right technology to where I could conduct my business from six states away. And as long as my business didn't break down, look, not every day is perfect. You know, it's some days are good, some days are not so good. But overall, if you hire the right people and you put in place all those things, your business should run without you because you may not be here. You know, you may want to step out. You may want to go on vacation. Because do you really have a business at that point? You know, if you want to build your business to scale it, to sell it, which that's my vision, when private equity or whoever may want to purchase your business, are they purchasing you? Are they purchasing the business? If they're just purchasing you, there's probably not going to be a big dollar sign, because if you go away, the business goes away. They're purchasing the assets and the business. So you have to scale that, and you have to set it up to where you're not part of the business. It'll run without you. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in the business every single day. So,
yeah, that's a great point. And I think when you're talking to people that are getting near a point where they want to exit their business, and they, they start talking, I'm going to sell it for a couple million or whatever. And then it's like, well, what are you doing in the business? And they're doing so many things that it's like, so what would the cost be to replace you if I bought your business? Because you want to leave, you want to exit. And it ends up being, that's like, well, I'd have to hire like $150,000 worth of employee. Like, I'd probably need two people to replace you. And your profit is like, $150,000, $175,000. It's not even to me, your business is worth nothing, because I'd replace you with those two people making $150,000. And now there's no profit left. So yeah, you got to work your way out of the business and keep on delegating. And systems of process is super, super important to get that going. We implemented a software that started, did a really great job. And Graham, I have a feeling, do you use GoDunzo? I heard you, is that software? Are you familiar with that? GoDunzo?
Say it again.
GoDunzo. Are you using GoDunzo?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. So there, so I thought, cause they, that came from concrete flooring covering company, and they created the software. Well, anyways, all your leads come in from Facebook, Nextdoor, your website, all the stuff, and it's, it's just using software/AI, and from there it tells your CSR, here you go, you got to make a phone call. And from there they can say answered, did not answer, scheduled, did not schedule, or left voicemail. And then from there it triggers a multi-step follow-up process. They get a text message, and then they get a automatic voicemail pops up on their phone. They get an email, all in a sequence of several days. It's not super annoying, but it's about every other day you're going to get a ping from us until you say no. I had a lady leave. I forget why. I think she was pregnant or something, or she moved. I don't know, but I had a lady leave. We implemented this software. Not only was I down one person's payroll, but our close rate went from 27% up to 44% by simply implementing a software. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh, I don't know, AI sucks and taking all our jobs or whatever, I'm telling you, it's making you more efficient. So you have a higher profit margin. You can pay yourself more. You can pay your employee more. It's here. It's not going away. So, you don't want to be ignorant to it, but it can be really great and really beneficial. My long-term fear is the separation that it will have for people in the middle class, lower middle class, that, if you're currently working at a fast food restaurant, how long is it until you walk in and your order is there and there's just one person standing there in Chipotle that made sure the robots made your burrito correctly? That's what I'm afraid of, is the huge separation of the class, because I think a class is just going to be dissolved by AI and robots in our lifetimes. And I don't know how long it's going to be. It could be a couple years. It could be 5, 10, 15 years. But pretty soon it's going to get so expensive to pay people to do things that a $50,000, $75,000 robot can do, that these things are going to go. And Graham is already implementing some of these things in his business so that you don't have to have a $40,000 to $60,000 person in the office answering all these phones. And they won't even do it as well as your chatbots and all this stuff is doing it. So yeah, it's interesting. Might get a few haters for that comment, but it's not going away. I don't know what to say.
Well, one thing to think about too is that life's full of doors closing, doors open. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just think this out. Mm-hmm. Okay, McDonald's is going to start installing kiosks and robots, machines to cook the food and serve the food.
Right.
Probably there's going to be people lose their jobs. Okay. Remember what I said, with that door closed, what's the next door to open?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you need to figure out how to work on a robot.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Work on the kiosk, because they're going to break, right?
Yeah.
So you have to always evolve. And it's just, businesses who don't evolve, unless you're Exxon, some of those Fortune 100 companies, Nike, mm-hmm. They pretty much evolved. They're very on the forefront doing a lot of things. But maybe that's a bad example. But, if you're not evolving, you're eventually going to die, because You've got to offer new services. You got to improve. You always got to be doing something better. So one door closes, one door is open. Maybe you need to figure out how to work on automated products. I mean, one thing I started thinking about is like, well, I'm not a very good job of finding a job in the oil and gas business where I'm at, but there's a lot of distribution centers that are using robotics to transfer materials everywhere. So I was thinking, well, that'd be a great sales job. I think that would just be fun. That's got to be fun because that's going to cutting edge. So I started trying to interview with these companies. They want an electrical engineer. I was like, look, okay, how about this? I'll be the guy that goes in front of these people and I'll sell them and I'll talk to them and I'll be the fun guy. You electrical engineer that don't really have much of a personality? Yeah, you go talk to them about all that. I'll just do all this stuff. I'll entertain the customers, okay? Yeah. And the interview didn't go so well, but hey, I enjoyed it, and so yeah, you got to think out of the box. I mean, think about it. What's the next thing that's going to come out? Hey, building prompts for, GPT. I'm seeing people that are offering that as a service now. I mean, there's so many things that you can do that is part of the changing technology that you just got to be willing to change and evolve. And I think as business owners, if you don't have that mindset, I just think, unfortunately, as technology is rapidly changing, you're going to get left out, and
right.
That's just, and like I told you before, not everybody's meant to stay in business. It's just, it's survival of the fittest sometimes. And you either accept it or embrace it or, do something different.
Right. I hear you. Well, Graham, I want to say thank you so much for coming on here and telling us a little about your story, how you're implementing systems and processes into your growing business. If someone wants to get a hold of you, tell us where you're located. How do they get a hold of you online?
Sure. Once again, I think the best way to reach out to us is go to gotoguy.com, and that's GEAUX, the number two, guy, GUY.com. And if you can't pronounce it, that's fine. Get me on the phone. And I'll give you a crash course on how you say go, So yeah, that's great talking to you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And hey, let's follow up in 6 months, like you said, and see where you're at. I'm definitely going to start following your podcast because I think it's a great thing that you're doing. And I hope you wish you the utmost success into this and your business too. I think we're kind of like-minded about a lot of things, and it's refreshing to find people that kind of have the same mindset. Cause I think we all can learn stuff from each other because your experience is not mine and mine is not yours. And, there may be some things that I find that, you all want to look at this. And I have a group of friends that are business owners and we bounce stuff all the time. Some things not so good, but at least it's generating the thought process and kind of keep thinking, right? Which you got to do. Yeah,
for sure. So. Awesome. Well, if you're not a subscriber yet, make sure you like, follow, share the podcast. Appreciate you guys listening to this episode with Graham from GoToGuys. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.